mercy and peace of the triune God be with you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many of you know Rosie Johnson, and as you can see, I'm not Rosie Johnson. She was scheduled to preach today and had a family situation arise and needed to go be with her brother in Houston. So we pray for her and for her brother Robert and their entire family. Heather mentioned in her announcements that we give thanks to God for the Northwestern jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church and their ordination of an openly lesbian woman as bishop. We also look forward to welcoming Bishop Schnazy to this conference on September 1, and we pray, we pray for their transition from Missouri to San Antonio. We continue to process the events of the past several weeks in our country and abroad. We have seen violence and hatred, love and support, terror and racism, grief and mourning. Each day it seems like another life or lives ends too soon in a violent and vile act, including what's happening today. Sometimes our response to these attacks and injustices is to stand beside those who hurt, to comfort and console, to speak for their cause, and to speak out for change. As a church where we tend to live into a preaching with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper or the internet in the other, we seem to find out things almost instantly. And so, 20 minutes before coming to stand before you today, I hear about the situation happening right now in Baton Rouge, where more police officers are being killed, even as we speak. And so it's a challenge to stand up here and preach the sermon I prepared for you, which is about resistance. But that's where we're going to go today, because we need to hold in attention our support of those who are being pushed to the curb and those who stand and give their lives for our freedom to speak. The intersection of our right to protest with our need to be safe in an environment where police officers die and trucks drive through crowds at peaceful gatherings was captured in a striking photo that has been seen throughout the world. The picture that is on the cover of the bulletin today is Aisha Evans, a nurse practitioner from Pennsylvania who flew from Boston to Baton Rouge to participate in the scheduled peaceful protest there. As we all know, the day before that protest, 5 Dallas police officers lost their lives in protecting another peaceful protest. So tensions in Baton Rouge are running high. In an attempt to keep things under control, the police, dressed in riot gear, insisted that the protesters get out of the street. They pushed the protesters back and off to the sides. And for some reason, this rubbed Aisha the wrong way. In her own words, she says, "When the police pushed everyone off the street, I felt like they were pushing us to silence our voices." She decided not to be pushed to the side, so she simply stood still, arms crossed, and waited. 2 police officers rushed toward her, and she continued to stand still, not threatening or yelling or doing anything at all, just standing. They rushed up to her in full riot gear, grabbed her arms, put her in handcuffs, and took her to jail. She was released unharmed the following day. But by that time, this photo taken by a fellow protester and sent to Reuters had been seen by thousands and then millions of eyes. I want to be clear. I believe Aisha is an amazing, strong, thoughtful woman, and I'm deeply proud of her witness to the constant pushing aside of people of color. But I am also deeply proud of the men and women who serve in our police forces. I am not proud of the institutional racism that is rampant among some police forces, but I support the ones that are out there on the street, protecting our right to protest the very violence that came from police officers. By the way, if you are parked across the street today, be kind to Nick. He just found out about the Baton Rouge shootings as well. The Canaanite woman found in our scripture today is another example of a woman who was looked upon as other and less than. She was from across the border, a Gentile who would not have been accepted by the Jews. It's interesting that Matthew calls her a Canaanite, because Canaan had been conquered hundreds of years before. And by calling her a Canaanite, Matthew is spotlighting her as enemy, as pagan, as religious outsider, someone to be shunned and cursed and pushed to the curb. Jesus and his disciples had retreated almost to the northern border of Galilee to escape the huge crowds that had been following him. He was tired. He was exhausted. We're not sure exactly where in the city that the encounter takes place between Jesus and the woman. Perhaps they were in the street or in the town square. But somewhere, Jesus and his disciples had congregated together. Suddenly, a woman comes out of a home and starts shouting at them, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Now, in our world today, if someone comes running at me shouting that their daughter is demon-possessed, I'm on my phone calling 911. But back then, any sort of mental illness was considered to be demon possession. So a woman calling out to Jesus to heal her daughter was simply another person that had faith enough to reach out to Jesus as their very last hope. Now we come to the difficult part of the story, the response of Jesus and his disciples. We've heard about Jesus' compassion, especially his compassion towards women, the past 2 weeks. John and Megan talked about Jesus offering grace to the woman accused of adultery and to the Samaritan woman. So it's almost impossible for us to reconcile that image of the compassionate Jesus with the Jesus that we encounter today. Before we go on, I'm going to say that scholars have wrestled with this for centuries. Some of them say, oh, it's not as bad as it really is, as it sounds. It's not as bad as we think. Jesus doesn't really call her a dog. He uses the word for puppies. That makes it so much better. Some say that Jesus was just following the norm of the day in his attitude toward Gentiles. Everyone used derogatory words towards the Gentiles. Jesus wasn't doing anything remarkable. Can you say institutionalized racism? Most feminist theologians read this and say that Jesus' treatment of this woman was completely out of character for him. It is the only time he speaks to a woman this way. So their take on it is that Jesus, for whatever reason, is simply having a very bad day. His feminist badge gets tarnished a little bit, and we see the very human side of the one who was both divine and human. Sharon Ring suggests that the story reflects an incident in Jesus' life when he was caught with his compassion down. This Canaanite woman, a mother of a sick child, is out of options, but not out of hope. She believes that Jesus can help her, and she risks rejection and ridicule and even punishment to confront Jesus and to beg him to help her daughter. Her first attempt is met with silence. Jesus ignores her. The scripture says Jesus did not answer her at all. And then his disciples urge him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." Aw. Wow. Send her away. Push her out of the street. Just get rid of her. We don't want to hear her voice. Jesus answers the disciples with an excuse. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Really? What about the Samaritan woman that you encountered the other week that we heard about? What about all of those other encounters with Gentiles that we hear about in our scriptures? A second time, Jesus addresses Jesus, and she kneels before him, and she calls him Lord. She is respectful, and she's asking again for help, not for herself, but for her broken daughter. And Jesus tells her, "It is not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs." Again, scholars have done all kinds of mental and exegetical gymnastics trying to figure this one out. Both Matthew and Mark have Jesus saying this hurtful, unkind, racist comment. Author Francis Ganch puts it this way: "Make no mistake about it. Calling someone a dog, then as now, is not a compliment." Jesus' rebuff of the Canaanite is an undeniably sharp insult. Indeed, as John Meyer notes, nowhere else in the gospel tradition does Jesus address a sincere petitioner in such harsh, insulting language. Had this been me, at this point I would have turned around and walked away. But instead of backing down in disgrace, embarrassed and ashamed, the woman stands up to Jesus. She doesn't believe in that three strikes and you're out rule, or that she should leave because she is unworthy. Her daughter needs a miracle, and she is going to persist in the face of all the opposition. So she stands up to him. She looks him in the eye and she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table." Instead of backing down in disgrace, she takes up Jesus' insulting words and uses it to argue against him, subtly reshaping the metaphor to include her daughter's need of healing within the purview of his mission. Jesus is trying to convince her that there isn't enough grace to go around, and she points him back to God's abundance. The table is so full that food overflows onto the ground, like water from a stream, like grain overflowing from a grain bin. There is more than enough for everyone. Francis Ganch says the great banquet includes all, despite accidents of ethnicity, gender, or status. The amazing, brave, prophetic woman bears witness to a God of abundance, rich in mercy, who supplies bread for all. Joanna Dewey has this observation: "The narrative portrays Jesus being bested by a woman and changing his behavior on that account. This is the only instance in the extant tradition of Jesus being taught by someone, and that someone is a woman who should not properly be speaking to him at all. This is remarkable. It is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus becomes the student. He is taught, not by a rabbi, but by a Gentile woman. And he learns his lesson. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. This Canaanite woman withstood the insults and racism. She stood up to them, and she received respect. Excuse me. There's a famous quote that we see on bumper stickers. We've all seen it. Some of us may have it. Well-behaved women seldom make history. Aisha Evans was not well-behaved, according to the police of Baton Rouge. In their eyes, she was a criminal and needed to be arrested and taken to jail. But she made history. Her photo will become one of the most iconic photos of this time of racial tension and increasing unrest. We will be seeing this picture in history books and on documentaries that look back on the teens forever. The Canaanite woman wasn't well-behaved either. She shouted when those in power said she should be silent. She stood her ground when she was insulted, and she turned Jesus' argument on its head. Her daughter was healed, and Jesus praised her faith. Both women show us how to respond to institutional racism and abuse of power. The cycle of violence and mistrust and racism and terror will not end with our silence. We must speak. We must stand. With Aisha Evans and the Canaanite woman, we should all be that strong. Amen.